honourable members, for coming back. Welcome to Mr. McBride, the Executive Director of IPET, and his team. Members, I'm going to ask again for you just to introduce yourselves, and then I'm going to ask Mr. McBride to introduce his delegation. Thank you. We can start on that side. Honourable Mhlongo.
I'm Philip Mhlongo, the member of the committee.
Thank you, Chair. Sambonani Kamusa Kelembele, member of the committee.
Hi, it's Diane Kola Barnard.
Morning, my name is Pindile Mola, a member of the portfolio committee. Thank you.
Thank you very much, members. Edie, thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. Some of my staff were delayed in coming in because they're busy with the crisis where the Northwest team is busy raiding the offices of IPED lawyers as we speak at the moment. We're not sure what this is about, but that's where we've come to. In any event, Honourable Chairperson, on my right is Anthony Tempaho from the Executive Director's Office. On my left is Mr. Sasoko, on his left is Mr. Siseri, on his left is Mem Netsianda, and then from the corner is Mem Molofe, Mem Borwaswi, Mem Siklape, Mr. Dlamini, and Dr. Makobatiti.
Thank you very much. Again, members, we've got limited time available, so without further ado, I'm going to ask... Yes,
I think we've just heard something very concerning. I'd like more information.
Yeah, maybe during the questions we can really... Okay. You're welcome to pose it. Yeah.
It's peculiar to hear.
Yeah, no, I think during the question time, let's go straight to the main presentation. Mr. McBride, you're welcome in your team, and then we'll go to questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. I think we'll start with the overview by the Executive Director. It'll be very short, just put it in context and circumstances. And then the budget and expenditure presentation by Acting CFO. And then the summary of performance for strategic targets and summary of overall performance will be done by Mam Letlape. And then the different program managers will do the performance per program. The second quarter is quite important because it's very different from any other previous quarter in the sense that there's been a 45% increase from quarter one to quarter two in case intake. Now, in terms of numbers, it works out to be about 1,349 increase in that quarter, which is almost the total of increase in intake of 16-17. So we are dealing with an increased intake with the same amount of personnel, reduced resources, dilapid ICT and infrastructure. When we recently visited the UK to look at our counterparts there, the Independent Police Complaints Commission, they have 1,000 investigators. They limit their case intake to 600. That gives you an idea of the capacity constraints we're dealing with. However, one must look at the other side of the coin, is why is there an increase in intake in cases with IPED? Our own view is that it's against the background of two issues. One, people having faith in IPED and maybe lost faith elsewhere. Nothing scientific to prove that yet, but the second issue is this is the lag and effect of the strategic decision last financial year to go for high value targets, that is low volumes, high value, high impact investigations where you go to the source of the sickness in the SAPS, and as a result the public's confidence in IPED, in fact, that IPED will do its job, increases. So where we've, because of budgetary constraints, been unable to do outreach and increase our stakeholder engagements, the decision to transfer resources from one strategic leg to another is, in our view, it's paying off now in the second quarter of this financial year, in the sense you can see the massive phenomenal increase in intake in cases, in caseload. We will then do later on the analysis and review of Program 2's performance. One must also remember that we had a backlog in quarter one. So these 1,349 cases are not backlog cases. They're new cases which came in the second quarter. So there was a bit of operational lag in getting the first quarter going, dealing with backlog. And Mr. Sissoko will speak a bit more about the backlog. But these are new cases. What we've done in terms of engagements with SAPS, looking at reprioritization of some funding, which according to the latest letter of allocation from Treasury, is as expected, is that we're using the vast majority of that additional funds for dealing with accruals and also putting in place additional controls and monitoring mechanisms so that our systems at least are in place when the economy improves and the fiscus grows and more budget will be available for us. And also the importance of our work is acknowledged. So I'll hand over now to Acting CFO to continue with his presentation. Thank you.
Thank you, Executive Director. Mr. Sadi, you're welcome.
Chairperson, just to give a context, members will recall that when we were here during the first quarter of the current financial year, we reported two critical issues. The accrual from last financial year, which negatively affected the current financial year's budget, as well as the backlog cases. Most of the cases were put on hold when the department was evaluating the spending pattern. Strategic decision was taken that some of these cases, they must be put on hold so that strategic key cases can be prioritized. Our current budget allocation is as follows. The bulk of the budget is in Program 2, 61%. We are continuing to make sure that our core function is prioritized from the limited allocation that is given. 34% administration, this is where we support the Program 2, including your office accommodations from DPW budget. 5%, your Program 4 or Program 3, your stakeholder monitoring. The bulk of this budget is mainly on travel and accommodation during the stakeholder engagement. In terms of the performance, cumulative expenditure up to the end of September 2017, the Program 1 administration has reported 56.5%. Program 2, investigation and information management, is accounting for 53.3%. The last program, Program 3, compliance monitoring and stakeholder management, is reporting 45.7%. So the first two programs, which are key, administration and investigations, are already showing 6% and 3% respectively over the 50% target. In terms of economic classifications, composition of employees, we are still operating within the budget allocations, 47%. Goods and services, this is where the bulk of accruals were. The program is already showing over spending, and this started from the beginning of the financial year. Transfers, 99%. We are not worried about the transfers because of it's just a once-off transfer for skills development, so we are safe there. Capital asset, there's nothing. As the overall, the department is spending at 54%, which is 4.1% over the second quarter target. In terms of program by program, your Program 1 administration, as I've indicated, we are sitting at 56.5%, which is translate to 6.5% over spending by this September.
the main cost drivers in this particular programs, your information communication technology. This is where we are paying your software licenses for all the systems that we are using, including your case management systems. And there are some of the invoices that are still not yet paid. The responsible unit is still busy certifying those invoices. Travel and accommodation is one of the main cost drivers, particularly when we do the statutory requirement sanctions in various provinces, as well as the overhead cost. So I must say to the honorable members here that for this program, there's no expansion of services. All what we are doing are committed support services that we've been doing to ensure that Program 2 is functioning. Program 2, investigation and information management. Compensation of employees, we are still within due to number of positions, provincial heads that are still vacant. However, there is a progress that has been made in order to fill those positions. So we are 48.4% as compared to 50% target. Goods and services, 67.5%. We are above the target there, mainly due to the accumulated expenditure from last financial year. Transfers, we are 97%. And capital, there's nothing. The main cost drivers there in this program, travel and accommodation during the investigations, legal cost. Legal cost happen on some of the high-level cases, which has an impact on IPIT. So we had to reprioritize, do a shifting of funds in order to accommodate such a service. Maintenance of government fleet, we've got a very limited number of vehicles, which at some stage they need to be maintained, and as a result, they are used oftenly. So we have to make sure that they are maintained. Overhead costs, office accommodations, from in the first quarter of the financial year, we utilized the DPW devolution, the money that has been earmarked. And after the depleting of that money, we are now paying from each program, including the program too. So we are going to see the goods and services running faster because we are no longer using the DPW. We are using the program 2 vote allocation. Communication, also in terms of the 3G, most of the investigators are using the 3G as a means of communication, particularly when they register cases in case management system. The last program, Program 3, Compliance Monitoring and Stakeholder Management, we are sitting at 45.7%, but honorable members will then realize that the goods and services is on red, 57.2%. Mainly, as I've indicated, they are playing a very critical role as far as the stakeholder management is concerned. Community outreach, they are doing the coordinations, so they are visiting almost all the provinces to ensure that we meet our target on this particular target. The slide, we just want to demonstrate the expenditure that was going to be reported if we were to be measured strictly on a second quarter budget allocations. We are saying if we had to spend on that, your first program, we were going to be 12.9% over, investigation 6.7%, and your last program 8.5% within the budget. So when you look at the goods and services under economic classification, it tells you that if we are measured based on the second quarter of the financial year, we are already 14.7 million above. And this is mainly as a result of those accruals to the tune of 24 million that were affecting the current financial year from the 16-17 financial year. So all in all, it suggests that we are at 8.5% more than the target for the quarter. Management internal control measures to monitor the allocated budget. These are some of the intervention that ED is supporting and we have put in place. We have continued to engage various relevant stakeholders for intervention and support in securing additional funds. The last info note was forwarded to the minister in addition to the number of info notes that we sent to the minister. It was on the 26th of October 2017. We also had on the same day a trilateral meeting again with SAPS and National Treasury just to remind them on the commitment that they've made regarding the sharing of resources as well as the additional money that we were requesting. A commitment was made by SAPS to continue the engagement with a view to specifics in terms of the sharing of resources as well as the additional money. As far as internal control measures are concerned, we have reprioritized funds during the adjustment budget where we have identified 9 million from compensation of employees due to the vacancies in order to address, amongst others, the contractual obligation within goods and services. And again, we were supposed to meet on monthly and quarterly as far as our budget control committee is concerned. However, with the support from the executive director, we are meeting on bi-weekly in order to ensure that we monitor closely our spending trend and make a recommendation where they are needed. And the reason why we are meeting continuously is just to evaluate the request from Program 2, Investigation and Information Management, and assist them through the reprioritization of budget where possible to ensure that the department continue operating, particularly from the core function point of view. Thanks.
Mr. McBride.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. Can we ask Ma'am Le Clape to continue?
Thank you, Honourable Chair and the Honourable Members. I will be taking you through the next three slides, which outlines our performance on our strategic targets and also our APP targets. On the first slide, slide number 13, the slide outlines our performance against the strategic targets from 1st April to the 30th of September. And for Program 1, we have only one strategic indicator, the number of strategic training areas undertaken as per the IP's training plan, and we have managed to implement 5 of the planned training areas against the target of 7, so our performance is on track. And those 5 training areas, the first one is investigation and management of cyber and electronic crimes, forensic investigations, executive induction program, Celebrite, and polygraph. And under Program 2, we've got 2 strategic indicators. The first one is on the training of our investigators on specialized services as per the training plan. And the target is 75, and we have exceeded the annual target, wherein our investigators were trained on 3 training areas, which is investigation and management of cyber and electronic crimes. The second one is Celebrite, and the last one is forensic investigations. We can also, we just want to also say that we can attribute the exceeding of the target to the partnerships that we are having with SACETA. And on the percentage of decision-ready cases completed, we have managed to complete 690 cases from the intake during the current financial year, which was 2,969. These are the new cases that were registered in the current financial year. And I just also want to say that over and above the 690 cases that were completed, we also have about 1,512 cases that were completed under our backlog. So in total, our workload during the period under review, we had about 6,511 workload. And under Program 3, we have one strategic indicator, percentage of legal advice provided to investigators from the total requests received. We only received 2 requests during the period under review, and they were attended to within the stipulated time frames. And under Program 4, we also have one strategic indicator, which is on the implementation of the integrated communication and stakeholder engagement strategy, and implementation has commenced in this regard. and we continue to monitor the implementation of action plans to ensure that we attain the annual targets. So on the overall performance of our strategic indicators, we are sitting at 80%. Four of our strategic targets, they are on track towards the attainment of the annual target. On the last slide, slide number 15, the table, it outlines our performance on the APP targets per program, and also on the last column, we are reflecting our performance in relation to our APP targets and the strategic targets. On the second column, under Program 1, Administration, all our targets, APP targets, are on track. We are sitting at 100%. And for Program 2, we are sitting at 33%. Only 5 targets are on track against 15. And under Program 3, we are sitting at 43%. We have only 3 targets that are on track against a total of 7. Under Program 4, we are sitting at 67%, wherein only 2 are on track against the target of 3. And the overall performance for our APP targets, we are sitting at 48%, which translates to 14 targets that are on track against the total of 29. On the last column, where we have consolidated our targets, under Program 1, we are sitting 100%. All our targets are on track. And for Program 2, we are sitting at 35%, which is 6 targets against 17 that are on track. And for Program 3, we are sitting at 50%. 4 targets are on track against a total of 8. And for Program 4, we are at 75%. 3 targets are on track against a total of 4. On the overall performance, we are sitting on 53%, which translates to 18 targets that are on track towards the attainment of our annual target against 34 targets. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Edie?
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. We'll start with Program 1, Mem Nitsi Anda.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members. I am representing Program 1. Our performance indicators, number 1 is vacancy rate. Our target is to maintain our vacancy rate below 10%. We are currently sitting at 7%. It's 27 positions out of 388. Amongst these positions are 4 positions at chief director level, which 3 provincial heads and the CFO. The recruitment process is at advanced stage. We have finalized the shortlisting and interviews for the CFO. We are busy with competency assessments as we speak. For the provincial heads, the shortlisting will be done on the 10th, which is this week. And the rest of the positions, the process of recruitment is underway. Implementation of annual internal audit plan. The plan was approved by our audit committee, and we are busy implementing the audit plan for the department, and we are on track insofar as that, and the progress is monitored closely. A number of risk maturity reports. We are on track. We have produced 2. We're supposed to produce 1 per quarter, so we are progressing in that area. Number of performance reports on implementation of APP submitted to National Treasury as it is required, and also DPME within stipulated timeframes. We are on track. We've been submitting on those timeframes. All our targets, we are on track as Program 1. Maybe if I can mention with regard to our office accommodation, as it was asked previously. Due to non-response from DPW, we have written to DPW asking them that we deviate from utilizing their process. We've copied this honorable committee, that particular letter, and National Treasury. We have not received a response in that regard. We are also taking legal advice on this matter with regard to continuous payment of the lease that has been nullified by the court. So once we receive that legal advice, we will take it from there whether we continue to pay, because it is now constituting irregular expenditure if we continue to pay for a lease that is null and void. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Edie? Mr. Soko, thank you. Thank you, Chairperson, Honorable Members. I'll take you through the performance targets for Program 2, Investigation Information Management. This presentation happens within the backdrop of the constrained budget, as we've already indicated, within the issues relating to case management system and ICT infrastructure that is problematic. It happens within the background of backlog cases that had increased from the previous financial year as a result of reprioritization because of the budgetary constraints. So when we look at our APP targets in respect of percentage of cases registered and allocated within 72 hours, our target was 78%. We were on track in respect of that target. We are sitting at 79%, and you can see the increase of cases there to 45%. So we are on track there. The number of statistical reports on investigation generated, we are also on track there. The target is 6. We are sitting at 3. And with regard to the following targets, we are not on track. The percentage of investigation of death as a result of police of death in police custody, our target is 62. We're sitting now at 31%. You'll realize the increase in the number of cases there for the second quarter, sitting at 52%. Percentage of investigation of death as a result of police action that are decision ready, we're sitting at 9% with a target of 48%, but we also have a marked increase in the number of cases there. Percentage of investigation of discharge of an official firearm by a police officer at decision ready, the target is 60%. We're sitting at 27%, and there's an increase also there in terms of intake. A percentage of investigation of rape by a police officer that are decision ready, the target is 65%. We're sitting at 45%, with an increase in intake of 45%. Percentage of rape while in police custody, the target is 65%. We are on track there. We are currently at 60%, and you'll see the increase also in intake there. Percentage of investigation of torture, there we are not on track. We are at 9%, and we have a 49% increase in those matters. Percentage of investigation of assault at decision ready, the target is 51%. We're sitting at 25% with a 45% increase in intake. Percentage of investigation of corruption that are decision ready, our target is 40%. We're sitting at 12% with a 54% increase in intake. Percentage of investigation of other criminal and misconduct matters referred to in terms of Section 28(1)(h) and 35 of the ICAD Act, our target is 59%. We're sitting at 9% with a 36% intake increase. And on the number of approved systemic corruption investigations that are decision ready, we have a target of 2. Within the 12 months a period we have not done any matter which is decision ready. However, we did three matters that are decision ready, even though it happened outside of the 12 months period. And the percentage of backlog decision ready cases completed, the annual target there is 50%, we're sitting at 23%. We are still on track, but we believe that by the end of the financial year that could be attainable. Percentage of dockets referred to the National Prosecuting Authority within 30 days of being signed off. The target there is 90%. We're sitting at 92%. We are on track there. And percentage of disciplinary recommendation referred to the SAPS and municipal police. The target is 90%. We're sitting at 96%. And we're also on track. Overall, we are at 33% of performance, 5 out of 15 targets, which are on track. Honourable members, we put in a slide also that reflects the convictions that we had, which is a total of 31 during this period. You will note that the range from long imprisonments to life imprisonment. In one specific matter, we had 3 life imprisonment where members were sentenced to 3 life imprisonment. Chairperson, for the benefit of the committee, I won't go through each and every matter. I'm sure the committee will note that. We also have departmental convictions. Note that there were 117 convictions received for the period, with 15 dismissals from SAPS, 12 suspension, 5 corrective counseling, 5 fined, 1 reprimand, 23 verbal warnings, 7 final written warning, and 49 written warnings. We have referred 370 negative recommendations to the SAPS on slide 27 there. And then we also referred 611 positive recommendations to the SAPS. In total, the recommendations that we sent is 981 on slide 28. And on slide 29, we indicate the recommendations that were referred to the respective metros, both negative and positive. In terms of negative, it is 4 recommendations, 1 to Tshwane Metro, 2 to Ekuru Lane, and 1 to Western Cape Metro. In terms of positive recommendation, we referred 1 to Ekuru Lane Metro and 3 to Cape Metro. In total, it's 8 recommendations. With regard to referrals to the MPA, in total, we referred 756 cases to the MPA. I thank you.
Thanks, Honourable Chairperson. Let us program 3, Member Waswi, to give her inputs. Thank you.
Thank you, Izzy. Morning, Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Members. I will be reporting regarding the progress of program 3 and the performance. We have 7 performance indicators, and 3 of those are on track, as has been indicated by Ms. Letlape. I will go through them one at a time. The percentage of written legal opinions provided to the department within 21 days of request, the target there is 90%, and we have managed to only achieve 1 out of 7. Percentage of contracts finalized within 30 working days of request, there too, the annual target is 90%, but we have managed to only achieve 22%, which is 2 out of the 9 requests. Percentage of civil and labor litigation matters that were processed, there the target is 100%, and we're able to achieve 4 out of 5, which gave us 80%. The percentage of arbitration dispute matters attended within the regulated time frames is 100%. There the target is on track. The percentage of oral legal advice provided to investigators within 24 hours of request, the target there is 90%, and it was exceeded. We are sitting at 100%. percentage of written legal advice provided to investigators within 48 hours was also exceeded, as the target is 90 and we achieved 100%. The percentage of prior requests that are finalized within 30 days of request, we're sitting at 98%, whereas we are supposed to be sitting at 100%. That would be all for legal services. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Honorable Chair, honorable members, as you are aware, for Program 4, we have three program performance indicators. I must say we are on track in two, which is community outreach events and the formal engagements at national level. We are slightly behind in formal engagements at provincial level. In short, that is all from Program 4.
Chairperson, we at Program 2 side, we're going to use whatever resources we have to do enhancement on the flow-centric management system, which, if it's not upgraded or enhanced, affects our productivity in terms of registering cases and registering change in case status at the moment. And we have our BCC meetings every 2 weeks to ensure that we reprioritize movement of resources while keeping our minds on the long-term strategies, but also just to be conscious and cognizant of spending trends within the short term also. As already mentioned, we are having our first full engagement under the auspices of the Treasury with SAPS as a proper trilateral to identify specific areas of shared resources. That hasn't been done yet. We obviously will be monitoring progress of the draft IPED bill, but the side, from the side of IPED, we have completed with it. It's also not proper that IPED has the main say in directing what goes into the amendments, as IPED might have an interest in it. So we've handed over the draft of our inputs to civilian secretaries. They will take it forward from now on. We're also looking at reassessing how our targets and the assumptions that we make in our analysis, in our performance targets, in comparison with our counterparts in the UK, who do far less than us with far more investigators, whether our targets are realistic, bearing in mind all the problems with them, the early closure of cases, the unrealistically high expectations of achievement, limited resources. So during the Khotla, which is during this month, we will re-look at target setting. The general approach from government monitoring department is you must increase your targets, with very little regard to the resources available. So that's what we'll be doing. Thank you, Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Members.
Thank you very much, Edie. Members, we will go to questions. Just want to look at the clock as well. A few questions from my side, and then I will go to Honourable Shlongu to start from that side. The first question relates to, I think we welcome the efforts of management to engage with Treasury, but I just want to get an indication at what level is that? Because I think sometimes the issues are dealt with at director level. Actually, the accounting officers should speak to each other. The same with the public works issue. We note the letter that was being copied on, but I mean, was there efforts also to discuss the issue with the DG? I just want to get an indication. Then I think what is quite positive is because I've asked the same question for the DPCI last week, and I see in terms of the focus on cyber training, especially the issue of forensic investigation. I also asked DPCI, and maybe the same for IPED, are you also utilizing other jurisdictions' expertise? I think DPCI is using three other jurisdictions to ensure that you, in terms of benchmarking, are ahead of the other, let's say, entities in the field. I just want to get a sense on that in terms of your efforts there. And then thirdly, in terms of the program two, the negative and the positive recommendations. I just quickly picked up page 27 and 28. If you compare KZN with the other provinces, there's clearly a very low output. I mean, in the whole, in the case of KZN on page 27, only 5 compared to the Northern Cape 44. And then on page 28, KZN only 1 compared to the Western Cape 248, Free State 105. So what is the problem there? Is it capacity, management? If we can just give an indication of the discrepancy. Honourable Mhlongo?
Yeah, not for now, Chairperson. At the moment, I don't have any questions.
Thanks very much. Sorry, Chair, I've only got a frog in my throat at these meetings.
No, you're
to springboard from the Chair's question, I know I've asked this question before because I remember Mr. Sissoko giving the response, but I'm afraid I've forgotten. Could you please just remind me what is the difference and the meaning of a negative recommendation as opposed to a positive one? I remember getting the answer before, but I'm afraid I've forgotten. My next question, also just to check something with the ED, with reference to that study trip to the UK, you made mention of engaging with the IPCC. Did you also, by any chance, engage with the Northern Ireland Police Ombud? Because there were some very interesting features of that body, influenced obviously by their context, and in that regard, it might be useful for the committee secretariats to share the committee study trip reports in that regard. Can I just get clarity on the environment that's been made in the adjustments, the 310,000, if I'm not mistaken? The 301,000 rand environment from program two to program three. Because at face value, that seems to be a reduction from the core program. But if there is a detail around that which clarifies the rationale, can we please be provided with that? My third and second last question, Chair, is I'm made to understand that as of this morning, the NPA has declined to prosecute in the IPED case against the former acting commissioner Pahlane. I just like to know what is IPED's opinion of this? Because without knowing the content and the strength of the case that was forwarded to the NPA, would this be a rational decision? Because there are questions arising from that NPA decline to prosecute. And then finally, the issue of dilapidated ICT infrastructure was cited for a number of cases of underperformance with the targets. And that's been explained before, but can I just check whether IPED has sought any private sector sponsorship around ICT issues, and if there is allowance or what the sort of framework is around facilitating that, because I can imagine you can find somebody out there who's willing to assist from a private sector perspective, given that they also are incentivized to, you know, do pro bono stuff. But yeah, just to explore that option while you try to sort out the funding constraints with Treasury. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Bailey. Honourable Colabona.
Thanks. You mentioned at the outlet that some of your staff were not here, as your lawyers' offices, I think, in North West were being invaded. I didn't quite hear who by, either the SAPS or the NPA. Don't know. What exactly is this about? Who are you investigating who has perhaps the connections that could ensure such a raid takes place? You know, we referred earlier to the mandate creep, which has seen the minister seemingly step into the operational environment. So who do you think is behind this invasion? There's dirty tricks playing here. When do you expect to hear back from the integrity strengthening component about the fraudulent closure of cases using usernames of people on suspension or fired or generally gone? And does this relate to the closure of cases while some of you were on suspension? It does. So this would have been by members of crime intelligence. So that'll be a most interesting investigation. When are you thinking of, you know, when is the proposed end date? And in these convictions for murder and assault, and every year there's a whole list of people sent, police officers sent to jail for murder and various other crimes. What is your take? I'm presuming they've never come before you, but what is your take on the murderers and rapists, etc., etc., the 1,449 convicted criminals within the SAPS? That issue is just never dealt with. Every new National Police Commissioner comes in and says they're all going to be kicked out tomorrow, and nothing ever happens. I've got the whole list, from fraudsters to arsonists to rapists to murderers, all being promoted up the ranks. I'm interested in whether or not they've ever come through you to deal with at all, or has it simply been taken out of your hands? And I think, finally, your wish to transfer funds from employee compensation to defray expenditure on goods. I mean, the Auditor General would have an acid heart attack at that proposal. I understand you would have to bring it to Parliament for approval somehow, but when and in what form do you see that sort of approval being granted? Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Barnard. Honourable Mula.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you for your presentation. The post of CFO is a critical post. When is the IP prepared to fill in this post? My second question, in slide 21, percentage of all backlog decision ready cases completed. Can you please indicate the manner in which the backlog affects your current workload? My third question is in slide 33. Percentage of PAIA request finalized within 30 days. In your comments, you said one request was not processed within stipulated time frame due to late submission of information. Who submitted late information, and what steps were taken for him or her for not submitting in time? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you. Mula, Honourable Mulabatsi, you're welcome.
Thank you, Chairperson. Most of my questions were taken. I is remaining with two, yeah? Is there any engagement with the National Treasury for alternative funding for 2018? My next one is, tell us about the status of your learnership program. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honourable Members. Edie, you're welcome.
Thanks, Honourable Chairperson. Thanks, Honourable Members. I think I'll start with one of the other questions, was the trip to the UK. The IPCC only covers in this strange setup in with governance in the UK, England and Wales. The Northern Ireland and Scotland is dealt with differently. However, in terms of comparative analysis and experience, Northern Ireland would be more beneficial for us because of similar histories as South Africa and similar experiences and the need for transformation of police mentality and outlook, where you had a situation of a very partial partisan police service and where certain sectors of the community were against the police service. So how they've managed to do it would be important for us. But in my discussions with Mr. Sissoko, whilst we were in the UK, he had indicated to me that Northern Ireland is basically looking to South Africa, and namely the IPED model. So in a funny way, we've got no best practice to gain from when we do it. We kind of change in the wheel as the car is moving. But people are looking to us with the level of independence that our constitution provides and recent phone court judgments and so on. So we perhaps require to do another trip, and that would be to Northern Ireland, similar histories. And okay, and then... Okay, on the issue of the case that NPA decided is not prosecuting today, the Patlani case, that's a Patlani first defeating case. Now, we've already, my understanding from Mr. Sissoko is that we've already requested a review, or are in the process of requesting a review from National Director of Public Prosecutions, that we feel we have a strong case, direct case, not only on defeating, but of contravention of Section 33, which says that no police officer may not cooperate or hamper our investigation. So that one is under review. We will follow that one all the way through, including at some stage looking for private prosecutions on the strength of which we believe in that case. Of course, we don't take the decisions on prosecution. We've expressed to the prosecuting authority our concerns about some of the issues. Some of our concerns that we expressed, some have found their way into the media. So I think it's general knowledge what our attitude is to some of the decisions that have been made, but I wouldn't want to belabor that. So on the raiding of the office that's getting raided now is in Hartsfontein, in Gauteng, where my investigators made statements for the civil litigation where Commissioner Patlani was challenging our search warrant. Now, apparently what they are looking for is, and it's, remember, it's a Northwest people again, countering IPED's investigation. Now, this law firm was involved in preparing litigation against the challenge of our search warrant, because our search warrant wasn't search and seizure, it was search and identify, a Wi-Fi system that was put in a house by a service provider. That's where they're looking. So we confirmed it today. So any challenge of the search warrant validity is moot, and it's academic. We didn't take anything from the house. We see the whole idea of the challenge to the search warrant just as a delaying tactic, as a disruption tactic to us. So we are close now to finalizing the case, even though there's more aspects of it, and so we get disrupted. So they're asking they want to see documents about where was the statement made by the main deponent here.
Just clarity, is it the SAPs that have raided the office?
Yes,
the SAPs.
Yeah, it's the team that functions under Mabula. It's the team who filled during May, filled Parliament. I think there was about 20 of them here explaining why it was such a horrible thing to investigate corruption in SAPS.
Just a moment, Donald Bailey, you want to come in?
No, I think
okay, thank you.
I think, Honourable Chairperson, I'll ask the other members to deal with it. I just want to check Honourable Mullers and Honourable Molebatsi. Okay, but my other colleagues will deal with it, Honourable Chairperson.
Right, thank you. CFO, thank you.
Thanks, Chairperson, Honourable Members. Chairperson, in responding to your question relating to National Treasury engagement, I will also be responding to the Honourable Mulabati's question on engagement with National Treasury. Chairperson, the engagement with National Treasury is at the high level. We are meeting with our program manager. There's somebody dedicated to deal with IPED specific. And we are also meeting with the head of public finance
And in all the engagement, our executive director is present. And as a result of that, there is a positive feedback from that. On last week, we received a preliminary allocation letter where it confirms that the additional funds that has been promised from SAPS has been allocated, 50 million additional in 18-19, 53 million in 19-20, and 56 million in 2021. So that is as a result of the engagement that we've been having with National Treasury as well as SAPS. In terms of the question that was raised by Honorable Mbele, a requirement that was done from Program 2 to Program 3, this was to strengthen the work that is done by Program 3, community outreach as well as the stakeholder engagement. Members will notice that we've been saying due to capacity constraints, we are using investigators. There are no dedicated personnel to deal with the specific activities. We are using investigators to do the community outreach as well as the engagement in various provinces. So as a result, we had to make sure that they are budgeted for. There are funds available for them to do the travel and accommodation. So as a result, the money was moved from Program 2 in order for the same investigators to do the work that is done in Program 3, but is related to the investigation. And Honorable Barnard, on the issue related to the internal shifting of funds from compensation of employees to goods and services, this was done in line with the Section 43 of the PFMA during the adjustment budget. It was tabled on the 25th of October when the adjustment budget was tabled. So it's already been done and approved by Parliament. I think that's that. Those are the questions that are finance related.
Thank you very much, Mr. So.
Thank you, Chairperson, Honourable Members. I'll deal with the question relating to cyber training, Chairperson. The training was provided in collaboration with SACITA, so we got funding from SACITA to conduct the training. However, we've been engaging with the American embassy under the mutual assistance program signed with our government. However, when these negotiations on these types of training were ongoing, the new president came into power and pulled the plug on these agreements.
So, the president from other jurisdiction.
The president, Trump, yes. So, unfortunately, it did not. We also had an unfortunate situation that during our absence, we had agreed with the Americans that were going to assist us with crime scene equipment, and they procured it for us. However, in our absence, apparently the when there was supposed to be transfer of that equipment to IPED, the then management decided that they didn't want that equipment. Yes, the acting chairperson, the acting head of investigation was Mr. Khomo, who is now in crime intelligence. So they rebuffed that, and the Americans then offered the same equipment to the police. To SAPS. So when we came back, I started negotiations again to try and get it back. And the negotiations were at an advanced stage to try and get it back to IPED. Unfortunately, that is when this Trump thing happened and the pulling of plug on these agreements, and we did not get that equipment. And it was equipment worth almost R1 million, which would have assisted us a lot. Unfortunately, we lost out on that.
Just on the training, I think DPSA indicated that at Paul College there is a course, a few months course. I think it's going to be important also for IPED to look at what other jurisdictions are offering them as well, that it's quite important to upgrade those skills. Thank you. You can go. Next.
Thanks, Chair. We'll definitely look at that. There is an agreement to assist also, please, to assist us on training, but we'll also definitely look at that. And then the difference between positive and negative recommendations, Honourable Mbele. The negative recommendation is where we recommend that disciplinary action must be taken against the members, and the positive is where we did not find any wrongdoing against the member. So that is the difference there.
Just in terms of the people, I mean, you're a civilian outfit, and in terms of the crime intelligence people you told us about during the BRRR reports, to have crime intelligence come in, who gave that directive that instead of appointing one of the civilian staff to run things while you were locked away wherever, who put cops in to run the entity that oversees police? Who took that decision?
The acting executive director did the appointment at the time, yes. Kamanyani. Yes, who was the acting executive director at the time, and put the person as head of investigation. With regard to the investigation on the special closures that happened during our absence, what happened was when we came back and we were made aware of this, then the ED instructed that there must be institution of an investigation in this regard. The allegations were made against two specific provinces, Gauteng and KZN. However, we felt it prudent that we do the investigation in all the provinces so that we are sure that our system is not compromised everywhere in the country. Now, the unit that does the investigation, honorable members, it's only two people, so it's very constrained in terms of capacity there. The investigation with regard to Gauteng and it's completed, and as we've indicated that we have one person who is suspended as a result of that investigation. Another person resigned who was responsible for this. We also laid criminal charges against them because we view this as very serious, you know. The investigation in KZN is at a very advanced stage. We should be getting a report soon on that. And then they will be moving on also to other provinces to conclude these investigations. On the question of the 1,449 convicted criminals within the SAPS, and remember, we have not dealt with that matter specifically because it's a matter where the SAPS, in terms of their human resource function, should be dealing with that in terms of removing those that are found to have committed or they have criminal convictions. So it will be interesting also to find out why they have not dealt with those that have criminal conviction within in their environment. And then, Honourable Chair, you raised a question with regard to performance by KZN on the recommendations. We took up that matter with KZN when we realized that the performance in terms of recommendations specifically was very low in that environment. And the responses we got was that they were dealing more with what we call post-investigative matters, because those are the matters where recommendations have already been done, then they needed to be closed. However, it's not that they were, from the information we got, that there is work that had been done, so we should be seeing the next quarters a huge increase coming from that side on these recommendations. And then, I think I've dealt with the benchmarking.
And the issue of Northern Ireland that the ED has already addressed, I mean, the Northern Ireland situation was when we were still ICD, you know, they came to us for basically to understand our model, how it works. And their model was basically modeled more or less the same as our model, you know. But it will be interesting to establish, because it was a long time ago, to establish how they've developed from then, and maybe gain experiences from then that will assist us in how we do our work. And as Iria indicated, as we go into Lekgotla now, the issue of the targets is the main issue for us, because we have to make sure that our targets are linked to the actual resources that we have and the budget that we have. And as the committee may be aware that, for instance, when you look at the period of our absence, the performance looked very high, you know, and people were even recommended for bonuses. So you get a sense that there was a deliberate attempt to prop up performance to look good when it was not actual performance. And that in itself now made, you know, a false baseline targets for IPED. So that is what we have to fix now moving forward, and we intend to do exactly that. And looking at other models will also assist us. I thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. With regards to the position of the CFO, the position of the CFO we are at an advanced stage in the recruitment process. We've done the shortlisting and the interviews were held last week. We are currently busy with competence assessment. Once we are finalized with competence assessment of the two candidates that have been recommended, then we will assess which one is more suitable for the position, and then we're going to fill the position as soon as possible. With regard to the learners, currently we are having 51 learners that are appointed in various provinces and within national office various programs. Their term is ending on the 31st of March, because we are supposed to appoint them for the period of 12 months. However, some we do absorb them on the positions that are available, because we've already trained them and invested on them. So it is our priority to make sure that at least they continue with employment. But we're doing our part in line with a requirement as the department. We're going to continue from the 1st of April and enroll another group. With regard to ICT infrastructure that is dilapidated, it is the priority for the department to make sure that we upgrade our infrastructure, because it is affecting performance greatly. The allocation letter that we received from National Treasury for additional funds, it includes the funds that are allocated specifically for an upgrade of our infrastructure. With regards to sponsorship, our corporate governance office, they are busy with the policy on sponsorship. We didn't want to engage whoever would want to sponsor us without a clear policy on how to deal with those, and in consultation with the National Treasury, so that we do not find ourselves being taken maybe advantage of by maybe people who would want maybe to do business with IPED in the future. So we wanted a clear policy in that regard. So there is no one currently who is sponsoring us, because we are busy with a policy development around that. However, the issue of ICT infrastructure is being addressed come the next financial year. We've received the allocation letter this month, I think about a week ago.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank
you, Chairperson.
Yes, welcome.
Thank you, Chairperson. The question that is coming from Honorable Muller regarding PIA, on the slide that is up, slide 33, where she wanted to know where the there wasn't any information that was forwarded on time where this gap was coming from. This was from the Western Cape, one of our provincial offices at the Western Cape. And what we have done regarding them not furnishing us with information on time, at first we started with, in our Lekhotla, our previous Lekhotla, naming and shaming those provinces that were not responding to these requests on time, and thereafter we decided that we should disseminate a circular that is going to basically inform all the provinces what their responsibilities are in terms of PAYA, and that their delay in furnishing us with this, that information basically affects our targets. And it also indicates that should they not comply with that 30-day time frame, that there will be internal disciplinary that will be taken against them. Thank you.
Chairperson, just in addition on that, we've embarked as management also to do provincial visit to look at specifically these issues of compliance and performance, so that we make interventions, you know, in terms of what are the issues that are relevant to that specific province and what interventions can be done to improve performance and issues of compliance, particularly issues of compliance, looking also at the issues raised by the AGSA.
Is that all the responses? Yeah, thank you. Members, we've got literally 5 minutes, so if quick ones, Honorable Shlongu first, Honorable Mbele, Honorable Kalabanat.
Chairperson, just for my information, I think last time there was something of an investigation regarding the former ED of IP, if I'm not mistaken. And the information again was that he had been poached by SABS and placed at a very high ranking rank within SABS. Hawks, yeah. Then recently I saw him here in Parliament, Jefferson, now with the civilian secretariat. Now, what? Oh, yeah, Sira. Now, I don't know really whether then, now, when a person is under investigation and also appointed within the state organ at a higher level, whether then, but maybe we'll ask that question, but when Sira then appears again, whether then they do vetting of people, because this thing of expansion of syndicates within the organs of state, to me, is a worry, really. That how do you get people moving from one department to the other when they are being investigated? But then, Chairperson, lastly, is a question that says, you recall, Chairperson, when that whole delegation of Northwest came, I asked a question with the former National Acting Commissioner to say, if you are the head of the institution, and we have got your own deputies at a national level, why do you bring provincial people to the national parliament to account on issues around you? Are they your hitmen? Now, I am raising this question because even only if the organ of state is under siege, like what is happening, and we take it under wrap, we don't call the national management for police and the minister to take an immediate action, you will find people then abusing authority in a manner that, because that is treason as far as I understand, that we will have a provincial management of police going to another province to threaten the organ of state. Then we can treat those things as if they are normal. I don't really think it needs to be allowed. Maybe within a very short space of time, national management, including the minister, serious action will have to be taken around those police officers that actually then, irrespective of whatever matter is involved there. Because it's really, it sounds to be of a serious threat to democracy, this thing. You cannot have mafia freely operating within the organs of, when even the minister himself is actually saying that We are being infiltrated by rogue elements within the SAPS. And I think I fully agree with him there. Because where on earth have you ever seen these things?
Maybe if we can just keep it because our time is running out. Yes.
Chair, I'll actually happily forfeit my comment. It's fine. Yeah.
Honourable Colabana. Yes.
Okay. What exactly? I presume there must be a plan, but what are you going to do about these accruals? I mean, they're virtually crippling you. It's like you're being set up for failure. It's not a sustainable situation, and I'm presuming your consideration of closing offices in Mthatha, Upington and Bethlehem relates specifically to that. You're cash-strapped, which is exactly where the SAPS wants you. You know, they've always wanted, when it was under him as the ICD, they didn't want to give $5 to this entity, because the stronger you are, the more of a threat you are to the criminals that he's referring to who work in the SAPS. I understand that. We all understand that. So what is your strategy about that? And finally, what are you doing? What's your plan to boost the numbers in terms of decision-ready dockets in terms of deaths? That's apparently a big issue.
Thank you. Any other member? Thank you very much, members. Edie, the final responses. Thank you.
And just before Mr. Sissoko comes in, overall strategy is that, and to use an unfortunate example, it's a Stalingrad defense. We're saying head office must fall last. And the issue at the moment is for us to survive and to be able to conduct our investigations and to fulfill our mandate. That's so they can eat us up from the outside. As long as head office stands, we still can do work, even if we must bring people from provinces to head office. So we have a strategy down to operations and so on. And so on. Of course, it doesn't help that we are in a null and void lease building. But on the other hand, we are doing litigation, which has been prepared, which we will take up to the constitutional court on police being allowed to investigate those who are investigating them from IPED. And we see that as a constitutional matter, namely that IPED is then unable to fulfill its mandate. So it's not only criminal, which is a problem on its own, it's unconstitutional. The whole issue of the challenge of the search warrant, this whole song and dance that they came and do in Parliament is to distract us from our investigation. The litigation cost us 3 months and R1 million. And quite arrogantly, the then acting National Commissioner Patlani said, well, it's cost them R1 million, it's going to cost them more. And that goes directly to our resources, our funding, our ability to fight this fight. I hand over to Mr. Sissoko now.
Thank you, Chairperson and members. With regard to strategy on death cases, we've taken a strategic decision to prioritize so that we put more effort on dealing with these cases, your death cases, your rape cases, and your corruption cases. That will be the strategy, and the others will put less resources on them but put more resources on these ones. That's the strategy that we employ. With regard to the former acting executive directors, we conducted an investigation, and we started also a disciplinary process. When he had to account on the disciplinary process, then that is when he was moved to the Hawks. We then sent the recommendation to the Hawks and said, we could not deal with him internally because he moved to the Hawks, but he's still within government. So Hawks, deal with him. Here is all evidence of wrongdoing. When the Hawks were preparing to deal with that, then we had now he has jumped to CIRA. There's also a criminal investigation that we did. We made recommendations to the NPA. We got a decision not to prosecute. We have written to the NDPP to review that decision because we don't agree with it. There is clear evidence of wrongdoing. Unfortunately, members, we have a situation where we have difficulty in terms of our cases with NPA. We have difficulty getting decisions, you know. We don't know where we've engaged with the ED, the NDPP. We've written letters raising concern in terms of how they deal with matters pertaining to IBID and how those decisions are made. I think currently we've got about four matters where we've written to the NDPP and said review these decisions, where we're still waiting decisions from the NDPP. One of those is the defeating matter that the ED was referring to, where there's a clear case of defeating, but there was a decline to prosecute.
Yes, Bemis, please, Honourable Mula, a very small one, please, our time is...
It's a small one, Chairperson. Mr. Siso, when are you going to finalize this case of Patlan? Because today is this, tomorrow is that, and I asked you in June, you said you are going to arrest him around July, so I don't know what is happening, because now it's media, this, we don't know, can you please tell us?
Thank you, members. That's the final. Mr. Sissoko.
Thank you, Jefferson. We have made recommendations to the SAPS in terms of the disciplinary against General Pahlani, and the SAPS is busy with that matter. With regard to the criminal investigation, remember, in the nature of investigation, as we investigate, we find out more wrongdoing. So, for instance, we initially it was we had evidence about one service provider. Now, as we continue with investigation, we pick up now that there is another service provider that is paying for the cars for Patlan and also, and they are paying through accounts outside the country, you know. So we pick up all this evidence, or that still needs to be followed up. Our investigation is prosecution led. We met with the head of the SCCU, Advocate Melanie Govender, who provided us with Advocate Mukhatla, and then they established a team that is working with our investigators. So we also involved Treasury, because the forensic part of this investigation, for instance, now we received boxes and boxes of transactions that were being done by one of the service provider, which is worth billions. You know, that has to be analyzed, because that service provider was also paying the former acting. So it's an investigation that is, we hope, we are pushing with the NPA that this matter goes to court before the end of the financial year, but it's also dependent on them. The last we're having a meeting on the 13th, again with the NPA, where we'll be discussing the indictment and also possible 204 against some of those that are involved. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Is that all responses? Thank you very much, members. We need to, because we've got 2 o'clock sitting until 4:15, and I just want to give members an opportunity. Thank you very much to the Executive Director and his team. I think we take note of the progress, the issues that's been on the table. Of course, we'll ask the researchers and the content advisors to look at it, and we will then meet going forward on the 3rd quarterly. Thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned. Members, just the indication, tomorrow morning, 9 o'clock, M46. It's very near for the members of the opposition. And then 9 o'clock, we will start with SAPS in terms of the firearms amnesty issues, and 11 o'clock, the technology strategy of SAPS. Thank you.